The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, hour number two here on day number 14, month number 10. Welcome, everybody. October 14th, show in progress. And over the last couple of days, we've just been all about this vax mandate tug of war. Biden, of course, lording over all of us, telling companies what their vaccine policies can be, saying you've got to have one at 100-plus employees. And then along comes Greg Abbott and, I guess, Ron DeSantis over in Florida, too, maybe soon to be joined by other governors, saying, no, we're going to say from our governor's mansions, we're going to say you cannot, in fact, have a vaccine mandate. Is one of those a better idea, or are both of them a certain type of government overreach? I don't know about you. When I'm wondering about stuff like this, legal things, analytical things, I am just so proud to be buddies with our friend Andrew McCarthy. Andy is contributing editor at National Review. You see him on Fox all the time. And by our great blessing, he's here every once in a while, and we're so grateful. Andy, welcome back. How are you doing?
Mark, always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. All right, let's do the overview first and begin where the drama really, the most recent drama begins, and that is the Biden speech of a few weeks ago, where he comes out and pretty well tells private companies that at 100-plus employees, they have to have a vaccine mandate, roping in OSHA for enforcement of this. OSHA's never been about broad health policy. It's been about hazards in the workplace. Is the roof of your mine about to collapse? Is your factory filled with sharp objects? So am I right that this is a whole new weaponization of OSHA? And is there, in fact, a constitutional problem with the Biden vax mandate?
Yeah, you're right on both counts, Mark. And I also think that this may be, you know, just to add a triple header to all of this, this may just be Biden's governance by intimidation, because one of the things we should note here is that OSHA has never issued the regulation that Biden told us about a month ago. So it seems to me like this could very well be like, you know, the Justice Department last week threatening parents with FBI investigations, even though the Justice Department, the federal government don't have any jurisdiction over what he was talking about. Here, they've threatened this federal action, but they haven't taken it. And the oddball thing about this is, in order to do this phantom regulation, what they said was that OSHA was going to invoke its emergency authority, which it's only used a handful of times in its history because it's so controversial. And the last time it used it, I think in the 1970s, it was thrown out by the courts. So it's to begin with a rickety way to impose something. But how do you say something's an emergency when you announce it a month ago and then don't take any action? You know?
Well, so, about the no action, I've seen a couple of stray articles that seem to speak of this mandate under construction. There was a headline of, you know, we may be in a few weeks, see how this rolls out. So you're totally right. They haven't done anything yet. But I think that the wheels of potential enforcement seem to be rolling, maybe for this mandate to take effect once we maybe get into November. I mean, or maybe not. Maybe that's all just like a trial balloon, a smoke screen of sorts, and it may just be saber rattling, as you described.
Yeah, it's really an offensive way to govern, because what they're doing, and this is what the left does when it gets into power, it uses the processes of government as a penalty, and what it's doing here is basically injecting the air with intimidation. And in many ways, it doesn't really matter if they follow through with it or not. You know, just to, I'm a broken record on this Garland memo, but you know, it's one thing for the parchment of the Constitution to say that you have free speech rights and rights to political dissent, but it really is just a parchment promise if the Attorney General of the United States says, well, you know, we may not be able to prosecute here, but we're going to have the FBI look into this. And then you have to be under the anxiety of being under an investigation and maybe go into your pocket to retain counsel. How much free speech do you really have if they're going to use their raw investigative power as a penalty?
An obvious chilling effect. And to pivot right to that same concept in the current story about the vaccine mandates, here's Gary Kelly, chairman of Southwest, president of Southwest, saying, I don't want to have a vaccine mandate for my employees, but because of the Biden requirement, I have to.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody is going to react this way to this the way they're going to react. Some people are going to stand up strong against it, but, you know, they're also going to have to do what you have to do to stand up strong, which is probably, you know, hire counsel and, you know, be ready to deal with a lot of bad publicity from the mainstream press. And I think the problem we have here, just in terms of freedom principles, is I think it's a perfectly fair position for people to take to say, you know, my body, my choice about this vaccine, and I have individual liberty and bodily integrity, and you can't make me take a vaccine. But I don't think your individual liberty trumps somebody else's economic liberty. And if I run a business and it's my business and I'm not violating any of the, you know, there's certain things that businesses can't do. They can't, you know, have racial discrimination in hiring. They can't, they have to follow child labor laws, minimum wage laws. So there are a handful of things that have crimped our economic liberty. But where it hasn't been crimped by the government, you have a right to hire and fire who you want and put whatever conditions, including stupid ones, on the terms of employment that you choose to as a business owner. And if somebody doesn't want to adhere to that, then they can go work someplace else.
Okay, and having said that, you then land right in my plight because I agree with you completely. And now let me give you the price of that view. It's hundreds of people who now want to get on the horn with you and say, Andy, I love you on the Mark Davis Show. I love you on Fox. You seem like a good-hearted soul. And here's what they tell me, and what is the best answer to it? Because I believe that by the nuts and bolts of law, you are obviously correct. And nuts and bolts of law is supposed to be how we proceed in a constitutional system. But what is the best answer to the voices I hear? And my heart cannot be, you know, stone deaf to these people when they craft a sentence like this. I've worked for XYZ Corporation for 20 years. I don't want the shot. You're telling me that I'm going to lose my livelihood because of that personal decision I make about my health? Go.
I'm telling you that you have a very difficult decision to make, and you may decide that it's in your interest to get the shot. And if you don't decide it's in your interest to get the shot, then you have to bear the consequences of that. And, you know, look, Mark, I think it's very nice of you to talk about my legal prowess, such as it is, but I think you could have taught law school, because when I was a prosecutor in the U.S. Attorney's Office, my least favorite thing to do would be to prepare for oral argument, because they would always put me in with a bunch of smart lawyers, and the idea was to think of the worst-case scenario of the logic of your legal position, because that was the one you were going to get zung with by the Court of Appeals. And it's a very fair question, but look, What people are basically saying here is what the left says, which is a politics of grievance. And that is, you big company are much more better off than I am. And you're using, you can say that you have freedom and I have freedom and we're all on the same plane. But the fact of the matter is, you have all this economic strength and I'm just a little guy and you're squashing me. And that's the context in which we're having this discussion. But the fact of the matter is, don't run around bragging about, you know, I have liberty, I have, you know, freedom. There are burdens that come with every virtue of liberty. And one of them is, if you want to make your own choice, you get to make your own choice, but you've got to live with the consequences of it.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact. I wish it, you know, I it'd be nice if we could have like an altruistic, beneficent, king who made all the right decisions for us, and then we'd be removed from the burden of that.
But there's no totally satisfying path. One of two things will happen: either the individual worker is going to have to get a shot that he doesn't want to keep his job, or we are telling businesses you cannot make rules in your own business. Either one of those is a huge problem. Let's go directly to Governor Abbott, and I believe Ron DeSantis over in the East Coast in Florida, who are telling businesses you cannot have this rule. Can they do that?
They may not do it. I mean, they obviously. The reason I'm persnickety about can and may because of Judge Abbott's order,
right?
which makes that mistake too. But the fact of the matter is, they're obviously doing it,
right?
And I think there's a little bit of cynical politics involved in this. I have to say, Mark, as a fan of DeSantis and Abbott, and I really do like them. I think that we need to clone them and make.
Me too.
It's kind of cynical, and the left does this a lot too with populist politics. They issue these orders that they know are going to be challenged in court in 5 minutes, and they're going to be frozen. So now they're on record of taking the popular position, but they know it's cost free to them because the courts aren't going to let them get away with it. So, as I wrote about Abbott's order, I don't even think literally that it does what he says it does. As I read that order, it doesn't say that a business can't mandate. What it says is that no one can force you to be vaccinated, which is unremarkable. Everybody knows that. And they're trying to spin it as what it means is that a business, even a private business, can't have a mandate for vaccinations. I don't think it's going to hold up in court, but it allows Abbott to be, on record that he's in the corner of the people who are getting squashed by these businesses. And look, there's entirely too much big business crony capitalism, in the fact with the progressive government. And I totally am sympathetic to where they're coming from. But as far as liberty is concerned, it's running roughshod over people's economic rights.
Do governors have the right? I've totally stood up for it because it's in a Texas law. The governor's mandate that tells individual school districts that they could not have a mask mandate. Now, that seems to be one arm of government up in the governor's mansion telling other arms of government school systems. If it remains within the corridors of government, it seems like an authority that a governor does have. Does it not?
Yeah, I think they do, Mark. And I think what people need to understand is what does that do in effect? Because here's what the governors are not doing, and this is what the left-wing media doesn't tell people and confuses people about. Governor DeSantis, for example, is not saying you can't wear a mask. I am not prohibiting mask wearing in schools. Mm-hmm. What he's saying is somewhere beneath government, the decision has to be made about whether the kid wears a mask or not. We think it's better for the parents to make it than the school boards to make it. And the more we see across the country, especially I'm thinking of Virginia right now, but this goes around the country as well. The school boards and the school administrators are such captives of the progressive left. I think it's a very healthy thing that the governors say, we think the parent is in the best position to say what's in the best interest of the kid. And there's some science about what masks do. There's answers on both sides of it. But I think what's gotten short shrift and what parents won't give short shrift to is that there's a lot of psychological and other developmental problems with putting masks on these children have a very small risk of getting seriously ill from coronavirus.
Yep. In our last couple of minutes with Andy McCarthy, you're clearly passionate about it, and you brought it up in the middle of a perfectly crafted conjoining of the two issues. Let's spend our last couple of minutes on this Merrick Garland letter. I don't want anybody to forget this. Yep. This was the attorney general weaponizing the FBI and state's attorneys, saying essentially, we've got our eye on you, parents. If you dare to show up and look crosswise at a school board member, if they feel like they're triggered, we're going to give them a phone number to call, and you may find a domestic terror label affixed to your life. in the coming weeks, they're going to be reaching out to communities. I have called on every community, every police department to respectfully or bluntly decline this overture because they say, you know what, if we have somebody go nuts at a school board meeting, I'm the police chief. I got this. We don't need you. How do you think this is going to play out?
That's exactly how it should play out because the federal government has no jurisdiction here. The Constitution allows very little room for criminalizing speech, and that's even at the state and local level, Mark. When you're talking about a federal level, in addition to all the requirements for, before you can criminalize speech, that it's got to be a clear threat to violence, that the person has to intend it so that we don't rope in the guy who says, kill the umpire in the stands, right? We're only targeting people who actually are going to commit violence.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court also says it has to be probable and imminent. And federal law says even if you get past all of that, the violence that's threatened would have to be a violation of federal law. And it's not only not a violation of federal law to threaten your school administrator. If I go to my school administrator and say, you taught CRT in my school, and I punch him in the nose, I've done a reprehensible thing. The local district attorney should prosecute me, but it's not a federal crime. They've got no business in this. And nobody knows that better than Merrick Garland, who, when he was in the Clinton administration, ran the prosecution of Timothy McVeigh. So, you know, the guy who killed like 180 people in that bombing.
Mm-hmm.
Merrick Garland knows what a domestic terrorist is, and it's not a parent complaining at the school board.
This is why we love him. This is why you enjoy him in National Review on Fox. And when he shows up around here, we're so grateful. The Twitter feed is at Andrew C. McCarthy. Check him out at National Review and various other places where he writes and thinks. Oh, Andy, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Hope you and yours are well. And you know we'll be calling you soon. So thanks for being on with us anytime you are.
Thanks so much, Mark. Great to talk to you.
Andy McCarthy, Mark Davis, 825. My best Lil Jon. Realize this is almost an 18-year-old record, right? Usher, he is 43 today. Look at there. There's a career. All righty, 8:31. Let us head into the world of news with Gordon Griffin. And then, so after our chat with Andy McCarthy, man, that was valuable. Because this, you know, we talk about the tug of war between like Biden and Abbott, a president who says you must have vaccine mandates and a governor who says you can or you must have them and a governor who says you cannot have them. Who wins that? There's also a tug of war in all of our lives, all the lives of, let's say, all of you who are looking, you know, down the barrel of a vax mandate at your work, a private sector one that you disagree with. It's like, what are you supposed to do? And I've been talking for weeks now about economic liberty. Of course you have your freedom, but so does your employer. And they have the right to have a rule you don't like. And that's why I hit Andy McCarthy with that quote that I've been given 100 times. Mark, I worked for XYZ Corporation for 20 years. Are you telling me that I am going to lose my job for refusing the shot? Andy's answer, I think, was superb. And so let's tool around with that a little bit, and I'll play my favorite tech mogul, this guy who had a delicious answer to a Bloomberg interviewer when she asked him, why in the world would you host a fundraiser for DeSantis? His answer basically, I like him. It's just awesome. Oh, but there's more. 8:32, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer. Into the newsroom we go. Here's Gordon. (866) 660-5759. Great to have you here. So into the breach we go. Because as we have learned in so many stories and so many dialogues we've had around here and that are being held all over the country and just, you know, all over the place as we continue to slog through this crazy COVID world. And all I want in the world is for all this to be over, so that we just don't have to jack around with any of this stuff anymore. So this is all in the rear view mirror. But there's, you know, a little bit of the road left to travel, so I got to figure out how to travel it. And in the midst of this, you know, tug of war over vax mandates, there are two battles that are of great intrigue. One occurs at the governmental level, where you have a president like Biden, who is absolutely violating the Constitution and the definition of the structure of government in weaponizing OSHA to enforce vaccination policy, broad health policy, which OSHA has never done. There is no basis for presidential authority over telling a business what its vaccination policies can be. And if you stay on that track and you keep that concept in your head, that it's none of government's business what a business does, it gets you to Governor Abbott. It gets you to Governor DeSantis. I love these guys. And they are hearing, those of you who have had it up to your eyeballs, with mandates from anywhere. But it's a different answer. When government makes you do something, that's one set of answers. When a private business seeks to set up its own rules because it has liberty too, well, that's when the governmental tug of war becomes a personal tug of war, often between workers and their employers, maybe between you and your employer. And I've heard every call, every email, every cry, every lament of people who have said, and I gave it right to Andy McCarthy. I said, what's your best answer to this? Because I'm getting it every day as I stand up, not just for individual liberty, but for economic liberty, for a business's right to have its own rules, right? What is your best answer to someone who says, Andy or Mark, I've worked 20 years for this company, and you're telling me that I could lose my livelihood because I don't want the shot? What's your best answer? And Andy said, then you need to think really hard about the decision that you have to make. Because, yes, you do have the freedom not to get the shot. But your employer has the right to make you. And you can like that or not like that. And for those of us who are not under that kind of sword of Damocles, we can look at some other companies and say, well, that doesn't make sense for them to have one, or we don't think they should have one, or I don't like that they have one. We are all entitled to our opinion and all entitled to our individual liberty. Absolutely. But if you take the linear progression from the guy who's worked for XYZ Corporation for 20 years should not have to get the shot, right? If you're going to go with that, what it means you're saying is that a company, a business owner, doesn't have the right to make rules for the safety of his own workplace. And that's just not a place I will ever be able to go. Because my devotion to liberty means that people who have liberty have liberty. And sometimes there are collisions just like this, and there is no satisfying answer. There's no good. There's no answer where everybody's going to go, okay, that seems fair and right and good. I'm good with that. Because one of two things is going to happen. The individual who doesn't want the shot is going to have to knuckle under and get it. Or the business that wants to have a rule is going to be told by government that it cannot. Either one of those is going to send people off in a huff, no doubt about it. So to wrap up this little speech and then hop to calls on this and various other things I want to get to, 866-660-5759. That's why I think Andy's answer is just so tone perfect. That if you are that person or know that person, where he said, man, I just don't think that I should have to lose my job, you know, on the basis of the shot. And Andy said, you got to think really hard. Now, there are two kinds of people who don't want the shot. There are people who have really strong reasons not to. And for those, I think there ought to be an out. An absolute strong, my doctor says so, medical condition reason where the shot is a palpable danger to me. That would seem obvious. The other one is, here we go, the religious objection, which means your church won't let you. Okay, means you will be violating your faith if you do. Not just, I prayed about it and I don't want it. That's not a religious objection, as I point out in a Dallas Morning News column that you can find. And the other reason is I've had COVID. I've got antibodies. Now, okay, that's really valid. And then I think there's strong reason to believe that natural immunity is better, stronger, maybe longer lasting than the shot is. And I think the most reasonable of businesses should say, even if they have a vax requirement, say, you know what, if you had it and have an antibody test that shows you did, then you don't have to get the shot. That's what a reasonable company would do, in my view. But guess what? Companies don't have to be reasonable to satisfy me. They can have this rule. And so here we all are. So just please, God, get us all through this. Just let's get out of this so we just don't have to be messing with this anymore. And won't that be a glorious, glorious day? 845-866-660-5759. We are in Murphy, Texas. Peter, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How about you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you.
Go back with you for a long time.
Appreciate it.
And in fact, side note, you and I both grew up in the district, probably walked the same territory.
Cool.
You and I are about a few months apart from each other.
Excellent.
But that's a whole other story.
I mean, like actual southern Prince George's County, or how close?
I actually was born in the district itself.
Cool.
About 100 yards away from the zoo.
Oh, up on Connecticut Avenue. So cool. So excellent. Yeah. Well, it's very nice to have you.
Thank you so much. You and I part ways on the whole vaccine issue in the workplace on a number of fronts. Mm-hmm. And my basic position is I agree with you that a company has a right to set rules for their business.
Mm-hmm.
But I draw the line on invasive medical practices.
Well,
that crosses a line that I'm not willing to cross, and I don't think society should be willing to cross. For example, last time I saw a picture of you, you had a little bit extra poundage here and there. What if they required you? Sorry about that.
Okay, no
what if
problem.
They required you to have a lap band surgery, risk your life with a lap band surgery?
And what would be the base? And what would be the basis of that? What is the goal that would compel that?
Well, following Andy's free market discussion earlier today, financial. It's in the financial best interest of my company to have this rule that requires you to have lap band surgery because
gotcha.
You might disappear.
And this is a type of example that a lot of people have tried to deploy of a healthier workforce. You know, we're going to make you diet. We're going to make you get the thumb stomach surgery. We're going to make you do this. It's not just not the same argument. The reason the law has come down, and this is really the only point I've made when asking, do they have the right? I mean, people can agree or disagree with a vax policy that a company has, but is the law on their side? The reason it is through the Department of Labor, through the guidelines, through the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, employers can enforce safety-based qualification standards for workers, including those aimed at ensuring people don't pose some threat to the health and safety of others in the workplace. We're in a global pandemic, and that is the situation that empowers a company to be able to have a vax requirement, whether you and I like it or not. It is in no way the same as making sure everybody, you know, is, you know, within the proper weight standards.
Well, but overweight people might cause harm to other people.
You're making stuff up at that point. I mean, that's a huge stretch, and I think you know it.
Let me go down the safety side of this.
Sure.
You mentioned safety earlier today, and I was going to poke at that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a presumption that getting vaccinated creates a safer work environment.
Of course it does.
Of course it doesn't. Because from what I've read,
yes,
that if you're vaccinated, it doesn't prevent you from getting the virus or carrying the virus and giving it to others.
It reduces it. It reduces it substantially. You're reading bad things.
Well,
reading is a tricky, tricky exercise. Be careful what you read.
It reduces your personal level of sickness that you're going to get.
Yes. And also
but
your likelihood of getting
it. Doesn't protect me from getting sick if I'm not vaccinated.
No, I understand that completely, but it protects me from getting it and thus transmitting it to you. I'm not going to go around this tree really anymore. But
okay, well, so, you and I will disagree because what I've read from doctors is it doesn't.
Oh God! What flipping doctors have you found? Be careful! Good God! The internet is filled with quacks these days, man. Come on, does your doctor say this? Do you have a doctor? Do you have a doctor you trust?
Yes.
Then please talk to him, for God's sake. Does he say this?
I have spoken with her.
Does she say, you know, there's no difference between walking around in the workplace vaccinated or unvaccinated? Does she say that?
She does not say that.
But she does say
that the science that's out there shows that you can still get COVID if you're vaccinated.
No, breakthrough cases. We know that, but the chances are greatly reduced. Listen to your own doctor and not some pointy-headed, tinfoil hat-wearing attention whore that you find on the internet. I love you. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 850.
She blinded me with science.
Actual scientist there. Famous British science guy, no longer alive. Because this is like an almost 40-year-old record by Thomas Dolby. She blinded me with science. 1982. What a great record this is. The album was called The Golden Age of Wireless, and it came out in 1982. It was a huge hit on MTV. Thomas Dolby is 63 today. Know what he's doing, at least partially, for a living? Probably living off the royalties of that. But also, on the faculty at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, a professor of new media. Go Thomas Dolby. All right, 866-660-5759. We are in Flower Mound. Brian, welcome. Happy Thursday. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Hey, in your last caller, you may have defined this a little better for me. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious about your position here. Are you saying that because of the pandemic, we're under special circumstances, that an employer can mandate for its employees in this specific circumstance that they receive the vaccine?
I think yes, to answer, because the basis for it, as we just discussed with the other guy, and I've laid this out several times, and I'm glad to do it, probably need to do it every day, it's the notion of the employer, the desire to have a safe workplace, and suggest, and listen, we can argue with them all day, but it's about what do they have the right to have this opinion, because it is their business, and the basis for it is that a vaccinated workplace keeps everybody safer, right? So it's not making somebody get lap band surgery or making somebody get all some other invasive procedure or something like that.
Right. And so that's what I think you clarified right for me. So it's, you're not saying in principle, the employer can set conditions for their employees in any regard.
Correct. I mean, that if an employee, okay, if an employee goes off nuts and says, hey, we're going to make people, I mean, maybe there is some odd procedure. They just you know, want everybody to have a nose job or something like that. No, that's something that would not meet,
okay,
that test.
I was going to call you with the consistency check.
what kind of cockamamie procedure were you going to suggest?
No. Can an employer, yep, then mandate nobody can get the vaccine at my workplace?
Oh, that nobody can. Oh, okay. Well, I think that would, oh God, probably, what, now watch somebody try. Listen, we had a sports bar. You remember, not that this is necessarily linear, the sports bar in Rowlett where they said that you can't wear a mask, kicked people out for wearing,
right,
a mask. That was just their sort of personal statement. No, I would think that would be an incursion that would fall short as well. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very, very much. So, you know, I guess there is an addendum to this. Companies can have whatever rules they wish, obviously within the things that they are legally allowed to do. And ultimately, it does come down to the law, right? It comes down to what does the law say companies can do. And there'll be a long list of things that they can and a long list of things that they can't. And I guess on the list of things they can't is they can't ban certain races, can't ban certain religions, et cetera, et cetera. You can't ban certain disabilities, according to the ADA in some cases. But there are all kinds of just off-the-wall things that they may decide to do that somebody could probably challenge and perhaps has at some point in labor law. All righty, let us labor into the third hour. All kinds of things going on. Glad you are here. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.